Morning. Today's daf in Sotos Chav Zion. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zichron Nishmas Libik Gabriel Bashmuel. We start today in Chavav Amud Beis. We're going to start towards the top of the Amud and Chavav Amud Beis, starting with the two dots of Isha Marachmana Velo Katan. Right, the heading is Chutz Min HaKatan. God willing, today we're going to finish the fourth parak of the Masechta, and maybe, perhaps, start the fifth parak as well. But in the meantime, in the course of the fourth parak, really everything in the fourth parak comes off the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in the beginning of the parak. The Mishnayos of the fourth parak are all front-loaded in the beginning. Sometimes the parak, the way the Gemara sets up, is that it takes a Mishnah, kind of spaces it, breaks it up into smaller Mishnayos, and then comments on each section. The way the fourth parak operates, sometimes the Gemara just does this, is that it takes all the Mishnahs, front loads in the beginning of the Perek, and then it's just a question of following where we are in the Mishnah. So we already discussed a number of the aspects in the Mishnah. If you look back on Chavdal Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah presented many various halachas, and now we're going to be focusing on the halacha of Chutz Min HaKatan. Okay, there's no drinking when as it relates to a katan. That means that if the husband and wife are married, the husband's not a katan. Husband's just a regular guy, an adult male, and his wife is spending, unfortunately, too much time with in this case, a katan, and he warns her. So the Mishnah says that's not included in the parsha. Right, chutz min hakatan mishe'eino ish. So the Mishnah says there are two exclusions to talk about. Number one is a katan, and number two says the Mishnah is someone who's not a man, which we're going to describe and define in just a moment. Okay. First, as far as how we know that a katan is excluded, if you look back at Rashi in the Mishnah, so Rashi in the Mishnah says chutz min hakatan. Rashi says dechsev shachav isho sa. The Torah says that the man who is taking away your wife's attention is another man. He's a man. So now turning to our Gemara, Chutz Min HaKatan, Ish HaMarachman of Lo Katan. The Gemara here quotes the Drasha. Okay. V'she'eino Ish. Here we get to the more complicated part. The Mishnah says somebody who's an Eino Ish. He's also excluded from the Parsha of Sota. Okay. And obviously, again, remember, this is all halachic discussion about when she's going to drink the Mei Sota and when she's not. We're not, the Gemara here is not talking about appropriate versus inappropriate behavior. Obviously, all this is inappropriate behavior. It's highly inappropriate, but destructive to a marriage. But right now we're just discussing who's going to be drinking, who's not going to be drinking. So if the man that's with her right now is a katan, so she's not going to drink. If the man is not a man, she's not going to drink. Now that obviously begs the definition. What does that mean? A man who's not a man. So isha rachman v'lo katan v'sheinu ish lemutemai. So here we go. The Gemara is going to now spend a good part of this amud trying to give a definition of what this means to someone who's an einu ish. So ilam lemutei shachav. So the Gemara says, are we trying to exclude somebody who's a shachav? The definition of a shachav. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes shebesaru nishchav v'kalav yavesh. A man who's basically dried and withered up. The ain bo koach, and he doesn't have strength. So it's some form of impotency. With more detail, it's hard to say. Rashi then quotes Taurus Kohanim, which just gives the general idea that this word shachefes, you remember that from the Klalos, in Parshas Kisavo, so it's a reference to somebody who's dry. Anyway, so he has some sort of impotency issue. So the Gemara says maybe that's what we're talking about. The Gemara says that's not what we're talking about. V'amar Shmuel shachov mekanal yado uposa b'truma. Shmuel says that no, if you have a person who has some impotency issue, a shachov, so there is a kinui, meaning that if your wife is with a man who's shachov, that you could still warn her against such a man, and that warning would be an effective warning. So we know we're not talking about a shachov is not excluded, and furthermore, posel b'truma. And on top of that, if this man who is posel, this is a separate issue, a separate halacha. If this man was who was posel to have relations with a woman, that would disqualify the woman from eating truma. Okay, we know that the halach is that if a woman has relations with a man that she's not allowed to have relations with, so she is now disqualified from eating truma. And even if this man has some sort of impotency issue, but nevertheless, he's going to is going to be she's going to be disqualified. So the Gemara goes over both these points that were just stated by Shmuel. Number one, Mekana Yadop Shita. The Gemara says, as far as the Kina was concerned, that's obvious. Ma detema v'shachav v'shosah shechva zera amar achmana. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious, because the Torah says that in the Parsha of Sota, another man had relations with a Sheikh of Zera. In other words, it sounds like that that if the man is impotent, that's not going to be part of the Parsha of Sota. So the Gemara says, Vala Barhachu, Kamash Malan. So that's a Chiddush. I mean, the truth of the matter is, really, is a big Chiddush. And later on, the Gemara is going to ask the question, what are we going to do with the word Sheikh of Zera? But nevertheless, the halacha is that a kinui can be done against a man who's impotent. Gemara says, fine. Uposa b'truma. Now we're moving on to the next halacha, and that is that if this man who, again, a separate halacha, if this man who is a shachof, so if he has relations with a woman, and this man is a pasul who would disqualify the woman from truma, she's disqualified, despite the fact that, again, he's a shachof. So the Gemara says, pshita ma'u detema lo yichala zara amar achmana dis lezera lechala. Delez lezera lo yichala. And the Gemara says, the Havamina would have gone as follows. We know that when a woman has relations with a man, she's prohibited. Not only does she become mischalalet, she becomes hallowed of her kedusha, but a child also. Whatever that child is, a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, that child also is going to be a chalala. Chalala if a boy, chalala if it's a girl. But in other words, also going to be hallowed out, so to say, not have kedusha. And the Havamina would have been, that's generated from the double lamed in the word lo yichalel. Two people who are going to become chalalim, the woman and the child. And by the way, we already learned this earlier in the previous parak. The kohen himself or the man himself does not become a chalal. Okay, but anyway, the
future children too, or just with that man?
No, just that
generation.
That. Oh, she is a chalala, so then anything she produces from that point in time is also going to be a chalal. So the Gemara says, "Delay says there are chalal." So Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, "So I might have thought that in order for her to become a chalala, there also has to at least be a potential of there being a next generation." And in this Havamina, I might have thought that if the man were impotent, so then there's no possibility of a next generation. And so again, the Havamina would have been that the woman herself does not become a chalala. Kamash Malan. So that's a chiddush. The chiddush is no, that the woman, even though she's having relations with a man who is not going to produce another child, nevertheless, that woman is going to be a chalala. So, okay, fine. So where are we at right now? So again, the Mishnah says that there's no kinui by katan. That we understand. I mean, it's a drasha. Torah says ish, v'shachav ish osa, and somebody who's an eno ish, someone who's not a man. So at first glance, we thought that might refer to a man who's impotent. And again, I'm saying impotency, by the way. It's not a perfect translation. In fact, what I didn't go over is that Tosfos gives another explanation of what shachof may be. But anyway, Let's just right now try to keep it as simple as possible. At first glance, the Gemara thought that it's coming to exclude a man who's impotent. The Gemara says, no, it's not coming to exclude. In fact, the halacha is that there is kinui by a man, even if that man is impotent. So the Gemara says, ve'ela lamut evakocham. So the Gemara says, an einu ish, that's a reference to a non-Jew. Second suggestion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, ve'amar avamnuna evakocham mekan al yado, possible truma. And the Gemara says, but that's not correct. Because again, we know the halacha is that there is kinui by a non-Jew. Right? The man's wife is spending too much time with a guy, and that guy's not Jewish, and he warns her against her, and he secludes with that man. The halacha is she's now a sota, even though he's not Jewish. That's the halacha. The Gemara says, and furthermore, if a non-Jew has relations with a woman, so posa b'truma. In other words, the woman now is going to become disqualified. The Gemara says, now let's go over both of these points. Kinui, there's a warning, and it's a valid warning issued against a woman, even though the warning is not to be with a non-Jew. The Gemara says it's a valid warning, and the Gemara starts off by saying that's obvious, isn't it? Ma'u detema nitma shtei pamim. The Gemara says, well, we know in the Parsha of Sota it says nitma twice. And it's going to be the opening of the fifth parak. Hopefully we'll get to it later this morning. And that is one for the Baal and one for the Baal. One for the husband and one for the adulterer, the man. So, here's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is, or I'm sorry, here's the Havamina. Sorry. The Havamina would have been, look, when a woman has relations with another man outside of her marriage, when she has an extramarital affair. So there actually are, at that moment now, two Isurim that are created. One Isur to her husband. A second Isur to the man she had just had relations with. And again, we've gone over this halacha numerous times, but in that, what that means is that even after death or divorce, after the termination of the marriage, she cannot be with that Boel ever. In other words, she can't move on to marry that Boel. She can move on to marry somebody else, but not the Boel. So, I might have thought the Havamina would have been, is that the only time this Isser is generated is only when both become Usser. But let's say she has relations with a non-Jew. She already was prohibited to the non-Jew. So I might have thought that because she already was prohibited to the non-Jew, so maybe she is not a sota vis-a-vis her husband. That's the Havamina, Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is no. Despite the fact that she already is also to the non-Jew, nevertheless, if there is a valid kinui and stira, not to seclude herself with the non-Jew, and if she violates the kinui, she's going to be also to her husband. Okay. Possible Truma, we're now moving on to the next point of the Braisa.
Question?
Yes.
In regards to the minor, if the minor becomes an adult, does he need to get a special another kinui after becoming an adult, or does that is the initial kinui still intact?
Fair question. I can give you my best guess. I don't know. Okay, good. Next thing about the Ovei Kochavim, the non-Jew. As far as a non-Jew is concerned, so we said posel b'truma, meaning if a woman has relations with a non-Jew, she now becomes disqualified. If she's a bas kohen, she can't eat truma. So the Gemara says pshita. The Gemara says now, isn't that obvious? Ma'od detema. Now here we go again. Ahavamina. Why we would have thought that the non-Jew would not disqualify her? So Havamina. Ubas kohen ki se li'ish zar. If a woman is with another man. Now the key word over here is siya. Havaya, anytime it's used in the construct of a woman, means marriage, right? Havaya is kedushin. So vaskon kisei alish zar. Amar Rachmana de bar havaya in de lav bar havaya lo. So I might have thought that the only thing that disqualifies her from eating truma is only somebody who can create kedushin. The creation of Kedushin can only be with another Jew. There is no creation of Kedushin when she's with a non-Jew. There's no Kedushin. There's no Nisuin. It's not a marriage. So Kamash Malan, the Apostle. So now that's the Havamina, which is a very good Havamina. Now, how do we deconstruct that Havamina? How do we know that when a woman, a Bas Kohen, has relations with a non-Jew, she now, from this point forever, will be disqualified to eat Truma? So the Gemara says, from that, we're going to generate it from another source. Me, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar of Yochanan, the Gemara here, of course, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Minayin Lo Bekocham, the Evet Shabal, Al Kohenes, Val Leviya, Val Bas Yisrael. How do I know that if a non-Jew has relations with either a Bas Kohen, a Bas Levi, or a Bas Yisrael, Shep Pasluha, this woman now becomes disqualified. Shenamar, Ubas Kohen, Kisiyah, Amana Ugrusha. If a Bas Kohen either becomes a widow or divorcee, Mishieshlo Amanus Vigerishin Ba. Somebody that has, that can create widow or gerishin. Yadzo Vikochav and Veved, Sheinlo Amanus Vigerishin Ba. So, which is an exclusion to a non-Jew or an Eved Kenani. There's no Amanus, so there's no gerishin. Meaning, because there's no marriage, she doesn't become a widow. Again, they may have relations, with may meaning not allowed to. They could, how do I say this? I'll say it again. There may be relations between the two of them, but that doesn't create a marriage. That won't create a marriage. So she won't be a widow. A widow means that they were married, now they're no longer married because he died. That's not true when it comes to a non-Jew, and that's not true when it comes to an Eved Kenani. Same thing is true with Gerushin. There's no Gerushin. There's no marriage, there's no Gerushin. So they are, so the point is that they, if the Ovi Kocham or the Eved Kenani has relations with any one of these women, so she will become a, she will become Pasul, or in this case, Psula. Okay. Anyway, point being is that from this limud of Rabbi Yochanan, we know that a non-Jew has relations with a woman, she becomes Pasul. She's disqualified. If she's a Bas Kohen, she can't eat Truma anymore. Okay. Where are we right now? Here, we're in the point of the Gemara where the Gemara said, according to the Mishnah said that the kinui, a valid warning, can only go against a man, not against a minor, not against a katan. That was easy to explain. Not a katan. And not against an eno ish, somebody who's not a man. So right now, we have, the Gemara has suggested two possibilities, both of which was rejected. One possibility said the Gemara was talking about a man who's impotent. Gemara rejected that. A second possibility says the Gemara is, we're talking about a non-Jew. The Gemara rejected that as well. Okay, so now that we've rejected it, so what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah is referring to an Enoish? So the Gemara says that where it's coming to exclude an animal. Okay, obviously very indelicate, but the Gemara over here is saying that if the man warns his wife not to be with a particular animal, so that is not going to be a valid kinui. Obviously it's disturbing, obviously it's terribly dysfunctional, but in terms of the halacha, it's not going to be a kinui. So the Gemara says, and actually we're making a halachi point over here as well, and that is, God forbid, a woman has relations with an animal, that's not a maises nus. Now, mind you, by the way, it's Mishka Behema. Mishka Behema is a capital crime, right? Witnesses, warning, it would result in a death penalty. But in terms of the definition of znus, it doesn't fall under the category of the znus. The woman, I know this is indelicate, but the woman is not usher to her husband if she had Mishka Behema.
Why would you have thought otherwise? Well, there's no idolatry. I mean, adultery.
Okay, but it's a promiscuous. Okay, good. I'm trying to get the words out. Trying so desperately. Go ahead. No, in other words, why would you have thought otherwise? So the Gemara. The Gemara is going to reject. You might have thought.
I'll
make this simple, by the way. No. I'll give you a somewhat intelligent answer to your question. Somewhat. Where's Mishka Behema found in terms of the Torah? It's found by the other Arias. Yeah. Okay. There you have it. So Amalei Rava be Parzakula Rav Ashi Menahem Milsadam Rabbanan Einzus BeBehema. The Gemara says, and where do we know this from? Meaning a source where a woman has relations with an animal and that's not a Maisa's Nus. Okay, again, I everyone's clear. Meaning it's beyond reprehensible. It just doesn't categorize as Nus. It doesn't. She doesn't become a zona as a result of that. She, oddly enough, can marry a Kohen after such an act. So how do we know that? Dichsiv lo savi esan zona mechir kelef. We know in Parshas Kisei, say there's a pasuk in the Torah that says that certain karbanos are just reprehensible. Like you can't bring them to the base of mikdash. It's terrible. It's disgusting. So two examples given in the Torah: esan zona mechir kelef. Esan zona, prostitute for her services. So what did she get a payment? She got a tlash. She got a sheep as a payment. Now the zona would like to go to the base of mikdash and bring it as a karban. Thank Hashem. Okay, I understand. It's a not describing a. Okay, yeah, it's strange. So anyway, so she comes up. So the Kohen will say to her, "No, the Torah says we reject this. Esnan zona. The payment of a zona is going to be un. It's pasul. The carbon itself is pasul. Cannot be brought as a carbon. Mechir kelev. This one's harder to explain. Mechir kelev. You swap out a sheep for a dog. It's not harder to explain. I just explained it. What I mean is, it's harder to understand.
A dog could never be a carbon.
No, I understand that, but there's something inherently wrong with it. But okay, I don't know. Dogs back then were not as domesticated as dogs now. I don't know. The fact is that Mechir Kelev, if I swap out a sheep for a dog, so that sheep is also disqualified to be brought to the base of Mikdash. Now, Vitanya, Esnan Kelev, Mechir Zona, Mutarim. Now, what if, let's take these two examples and just switch the terms. Meaning, instead of Esnan Zona, it's Esnan Kelev. And instead of Mechir Kelev, it's Mechir Zona. Would they be disqualified to the base of Mikdash? So I'm going to explain each one of them in a moment. You'll watch me squirm a little bit as I explain each one of them. But anyway, just the point is, mutarim. No, they're mutar. Shenamar, gam shneihem. Because if you read on the pasuk in Parshas Kisei, it says only these two examples. Meaning, but if there's any other permutation, even though I'm using basically the same words, I'm just taking one word and applying it to the other, Gemara says that's not disqualified. Shnayim v'lo arba, only two but not four. Okay, what are the examples over here that is not disqualified? So let's start off one by one. Let's start off with Esnan Kelev. Esnan Kelev, okay, unbelievably uncomfortable, but Rashi says, Im adam omer lezona helech televi hibali lekalvi. You pay a prostitute, you pay her with a sheep, right? Because obviously we all this results in her going to the base of Mikdash with a carbon in tow. So you pay her with a sheep, but instead of paying her for relations, you pay her for relations to be had with your dog. Okay, that's Esnan Kelev. the payment of kelev. So, okay, that's and what the Gemara's point is. Well, I'll get to the Gemara's point in just a moment. Next example: mechir zona, the sale, the exchange of a zona. Meaning, instead of swapping out a dog for a sheep, what do? You swap out a zona for a sheep. Again, it's just to us seems strange, but Rashi says, "Haisa lo shivcha zona ve'achlifa betla." You have a shivcha zona, and right, she's a property, and you swap her out for a sheep. So umid ka'amar. Now, okay, those are the two examples where, again, that sheep is not going to be rejected from the base of Mikdash. And Rashi then goes points out umid ka'amar as nan kelav mota bechlal delav znusi. Now, this prostitute was just paid to have relations with the dog, and the and her payment came in the form of sheep. Now, the point being as follows: if that act of relations fell under the category of znus, so then obviously the sheep cannot be brought as a karban. Meaning, if a sheep was connected to znus, that sheep would be disqualified by virtue of the fact. It's you know, if you follow the proof works out very well. If by virtue of the fact that her relations with the dog was an act of znus, so then the sheep that she got as payment would have been disqualified. It's not disqualified. By virtue of the fact that it's not disqualified, means that this is not an act of znus. We can use many other terms to describe that act, but it's not znus. It doesn't fall under the category of znus. Back to our Gemara. So, finally, after all said and done, we have a pshat in our Mishnah, and that is that when we say that there's no kinui by something which is an enoish, so it's a reference to an animal. That's not a kinui. Continuing now in the Gemara, the El Shechva Zera Lamali. So remember, at the beginning of the shiur this morning, we said that if the man that she was warned against was an impotent man, so that is a kinui. And we pointed out earlier, now the Gemara picks up on this discussion, what about the fact that the Torah says Shechva Zera? Sounds like, from the Torah, that the kinui is only valid if the man that she's with, other than her husband, is somebody who can at least have Shechva Zera. And if we're talking about a shachuf, the assumption is shachuf does not have shechva zera. So what do you do with that pasuk? So the Gemara asks that question. So v'el shechva zera lamali mi ba'ile lechad detayin shechva zera prat ledavar acher. So the Gemara says shechva zera, but not davar acher, meaning that the kinu and stira of a sota is only again, we're just speaking super clinically, super halachically, just in terms of the qualification for her to drink the mesota. Is only going to be when it is a warning against a sexual act. But if it's a warning against some other lewd behavior, so the so that's not going to result in shtias mesota. So the Gemara says, my davar acher, so, okay, Gemara has no reservations, no hesitation, so Gemara is not prude. So the Gemara says, what exactly are we referring to? Amar sheshes prat l'shekina la shaloka darka. So the Gemara starts off by talking about bia shaloka darka. The Gemara says, amale rav shaloka darka, mishkeve ishaksiv. Now we know, the Gemara says this every single time bia shaloka darka comes up, and the Gemara says, that's bia. Meaning, okay, that also defines itself as bia. So that shouldn't be excluded. In fact, of course that's included because that defines as bia. So Alam Reva Prala Shekinah La Derech Evam. So the Gemara says we're talking about physical contact between the wife and this other man, right? But it's just not, it's not bia. It's bia derech evam. It's contact, it's physical contact, but it's not actual bia itself. So Amarle Abaye Pritzusa Ba'amahu. So Abaye says it's Pritzusa, meaning it's lewd behavior. It's immoral, immodest. It's more than immodest. It's immoral behavior. It's lewd behavior, but it's not bia. Meaning now the Gemara is swinging to the other side, and the Gemara is saying, I never would have thought that falls under the category of sota, because the category of sota means that she had bia with another man. So the Gemara says, a pritzus, a miyasar. A woman, if she has pritzus with another man. Pritzus meaning, right? Physical contact, but not physical intimacy. She doesn't become usher to her husband, halachically. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay. So again, Gemara is being super graphic and super specific in terms of what exactly is the warning that the husband's giving his wife that doesn't fall under the category of a kinui. So the Gemara says Nishika. Nishika over here does not mean kissing. I mean, it does, but not in this case. It means the initial contact between the man and the woman. So the Gemara says, "Hanich leman dam harizu echnasas satara v'nashika v'lo klumhu hainu dasi kralamu t'nishika." The Gemara says as follows. Now, once again, in this this is like the sixth parak of Yevamos all over again. So once again, the Gemara now is giving a very specific definition of what bia is. There actually are two opinions in terms of what is the very definition of bia. Either A, bia is hachnasas satara, the entrance of the corona into the woman, or it's nishika. The other opinion the Gemara in Yevamos gives is that it's just the initial contact between the man and the woman. So the Gemara says, if we're talking, if you go with the first opinion that it's hachnasas satara, so then I understand the exclusion of nishika, because nishika is not bia. Gemara says that I get. Elamand amar ha'ara zua nishika ma'ikal meima. But if the definition of ha'ara, which is bia, is actual nishika, that's the first contact between the man and the woman, so then Michael Amemar. So then, if the husband says to his wife that I don't want you even at that first contact, so then that defines itself as bia. And that's not excluded from kinui. In fact, that is the kinui. So, la'olam, l'shikina la derech evar. So the Gemara goes back to a suggestion what we rejected earlier, and that is that she was having lewd behavior with another man, not bia, but lewd behavior with another man. And again, we rejected it earlier because we knew that that's not bia. The Gemara now is bringing it back as a havamina. I would have thought this is a valid kinui. Why? Because look, it comes back to the most basic question. What is a sota? Sota, somebody, is a woman who goes against her husband, her husband's wishes. Right? Husband's wishes, I don't want you to be with that man. And even if it's not bia per se, but she's acting lewdly with another man, so obviously that would upset her husband. So I might have thought that not only is it going to upset her husband, but it actually falls under the category of kinui stira, meaning it falls under the very technical halachic guidelines of this is a valid warning. That's the havamina. And the maskana is no. The maskana is obviously the husband is going to protest. Obviously the husband is not going to be happy with it. Marriage, I certainly wouldn't give a good prognosis for this marriage, but with all that stated, it's not a valid kinu istira. Kinu istira, in the most technical terms, in order for her to drink the mesota, has to be a warning against bia, against another man. And this isn't bia, it's lewd behavior, but it's not bia. And the Gemara says, that's why, but at least in a havamini, we would have understood why we would have thought that this would have been included as well. Okay, come on, Shmuel. I'm a Shmuel. Huh? No, Shaino, no. Shaino Ish, we said, is exclusion an animal. Meaning, if a kinui against an animal is not a kinui. That the Gemara says, that we concluded. And what about the fact that the Torah says Shechvatzera? Shechvatzera means it has to be that the whole parsh of Sota and kinui stir is in the context of Bia. Anything outside of Bia, even though it's lewd behavior, even though it's grossly inappropriate, all right, highly immoral, but nevertheless, in terms of fitting into the parsh of Sota, it has to be Bia. That's
She wouldn't drink the water, but what is the penalty for that?
The penalty is going to be that the marriage is not going to survive. What do you mean? That's it? No, because look, you've been in the Gemara long enough to know, meaning that the legal system in court covers certain particular behaviors, other behaviors which are again highly immodest and highly inappropriate, that they won't fall under the category of sota. They will fall under the category of this is not going to go well for them, for the two of them. But in terms of the Torah is not going to, the parsha of sota just simply doesn't cover that.
No, nothing like that.
Amar Shmuel Yisa Adam Doma VaYisa Bas Doma. Okay, as if the previous conversation wasn't uncomfortable enough. Although the truth of the matter is, this discussion is not as graphic as the previous discussion. But now we turn to the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now discusses a marrying a woman of ill repute. Okay. In general, good idea? Probably not. probably a really poor idea. But the Gemara over here, it's an interesting discussion. It's very short. It's not the Gemara doesn't spend a lot of time with it. But question of what is it? First of all, the word doma. Let's just get this out of the way. The word doma is an interesting word. You don't find it that often in Shas. The word doma means she is the topic of conversation. Okay, I know sometimes I always wonder, in other words, we know there's an Issa of Lashon Hara, and then there are a number of sugyas in the Gemara, this being one of them, where the woman is the topic of conversation. Everyone's talking about her. No one should be talking, but okay. I always find that tension in the Gemara, but not always, but when this comes up. Anyway, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Dome, Rashi writes, Nitenes v'nidaberes b'fi kol. She is the topic of everyone's conversation. Alni ufeha. And what's people saying about her? She's an adulteress. And Dome, Rashi says, Lashon kalsa vidibur. Now the word Dome itself is not pejorative, says Rashi. The word Dome just simply means you are the center of attention. People are talking about you. Kidamina benida, Dome sircha, altabech, vahu lav chshad hu. Rashi says, the word by itself does not necessarily mean that people suspect you. But Ella Deber Yeser, it just simply means people are noticing you, people are talking about you. Now the word itself could be bad or good. In this particular context, in our Gemara, obviously it's bad. Because she's the center of attention, people are talking about her because the rumors are, and it's, and they're circulating that she committed adultery. And so now the question on the table becomes the following. Marry her, meaning not the adulterer, not her husband, but in other words, her marriage terminated, quite understandably, and now should you marry her? Another person. So the Shmuel says, Yisa Adam, now I'm starting back on the bottom of the previous Amud, top of Chazayin Amar Aleph. So Amar Shmuel, Yisa Adam Dome V'Ayisa Baz Dome. Okay. Shmuel's not condoning or endorsing marrying this woman. Just to make that clear, I think that's self-evident. What Shmuel's just simply saying is, if you have a choice between marrying the actual woman of ill repute or marrying the child of the woman of ill repute, meaning that child was produced during her marriage, so what's better? So Shmuel says, better marrying the woman of ill repute rather than the child of the woman of the ill repute. Because consider, this child, chances are, this child was fathered by the other man, not her husband. Because again, rumors were circulating. Now we don't know this to be so, but again, because of the rumors circulating, there's a chance. Whatever number you want to attach to that chance. But there's a chance. So the Gemara says, Shmuel says, again, from a halachic standpoint, he's not giving marital advice, he's not giving counseling over here, just from a strictly halachic standpoint, the woman of ill repute halachically is in a better place than the child. Because the child has a good chance of being a mamzer. Right. The woman of ill repute is a woman of ill repute. But halachically speaking, at worst, she committed adultery, puts her under the category of a zona, right? That's nus. Okay. Cohen can't marry her if she's a zona, but right, we're not describing a Cohen, we're just describing the rest of the Jewish people. So from a halachic standpoint, better to marry her than the child. And again, he's not condoning, he's just simply saying it's halachically better. And he spells it out. Shizuba mitipa ksheva zuba mitipa psula. Because as far as the woman herself in question, so the principle, she comes from tipa ksheva, meaning she was born kosher into this world. Her behavior is beyond highly questionable, but she herself is kosher on the ksheva. On the other hand, her child, there's a chance that the child is a mamzer, or in this case, obviously, because it's a woman, a mamzeris. Rav Yochanan, Yisa Adam Baz Dome, Vayisa Dome. And Rav Yochanan says, no, I think exactly the opposite. I'd flip it around. I'd say better to marry the child than the woman herself. Shezu omer es becheskes kashrus, zu eino omer es becheskes kashrus. Because as far as the woman of ill repute is concerned, she does not have a cheskes kashrus. She loses her status of being a ksheira.
She could have done teshuva. Whereas the offspring couldn't do teshuva anymore.
True, but what Rav Yochanan is about to argue, and Rashi explains, as far as the offspring is concerned, so the offspring probably fathered by the father. Again, we don't know, but probably. Look at Rashi. Rashi speaks about the probabilities. Rashi says, "Shezu habas omez becheskes kashrus umateres lebala ulatipa psula lochesina derov beilos acher habal umibala nisabra." So Rashi points out over here that as far as the daughter is concerned, look, mother behaved in a very highly inappropriate way. And we don't know this to be so. There are no edim, but again, the rumors are circulating and so. But, I'm sorry, but still, right, that was the conjunction I was looking for. But still, all is said and done. She is the mother of a child. Who's the father? The probability is that the father is the father, meaning who? The husband. Because rov be'ilos achar haba. Because again, going with just halachic principles, we know the concept of rov. Rov teaches us that there's a majority chance, and again, in halacha that's significant, that the father is the one who fathers the child. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges, no se adam dama. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Now the Braisa, as it's worded, it's so awkward. The Braisa says, a man should marry a woman of ill repute. That's what the Braisa says. So, but what the Gemara now is asking, and Rav Yochanan is, Rav Yochanan, now according to Shmuel, that's fine. Almost fine. Because Shmuel is not condoning it, but Shmuel is just simply saying it's preferable. Shmuel says, rather marry the Doma rather than the Bas Doma. But according to Rav Yochanan, it's the opposite. A person should rather first marry a Bas Doma rather than a Doma. This Braisa goes against Rav Yochanan. I'm Rava Vitizbra, no se lechatchila. So Rava says, look, you know, the Braisa as it's worded can't be. Because the Braisa sounds like this is the best thing to do. Like, go ahead. And that's not true. So Ella im nasa tini. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to edit the Braisa. It can't be no say, it has to be im nasa. B'diavad, if you did it. So tini nami bastoma. So you know what? We're editing the Braisa. As long as we're now editing the Braisa, so we're going to do a little bit more editing. Instead of saying doma, we're going to have the Braisa saying bastoma. Clearly it's a corrupted Braisa. It needs editing. So once it needs editing, so therefore to add an additional word is reasonable. And the Gemara, and this concludes, like Rav Yochanan, that if given the choice between marrying a woman of ill repute or the child of a woman of ill repute, go with the child rather than the woman herself. The Gemara says in Rabbi Abba, a woman who is mezana, so she commits adultery. The presumed assumption is that her child is kshera, or her children are ksherim. As Rashi quoted earlier, we are again operating with the principle of rov. The principle of rov teaches us that yes, she committed adultery. Again, we don't know this. There are no edim, but it's pretty understood. Still, nevertheless, rov be'ilas achar abal. So, if it's just rumors and allegations, so does this extend even to a Kohen? I'm not sure. I don't know. No, I hear your question. I'm just admitting I don't know. By Rav Amram, Haisa Prutza Biyosimahu. Rav Amram says, okay. So far I've been dealing with a woman who. Center of attention, talk of the town. She committed adultery. Rav Amram steps up the discussion. What if she's beyond? In other words, Prisusa Prutza Biyoser, meaning she's just simply uncontrollable. Now, again, these are the kinds of discussions in the Gemara where hard to quantify, right? Exactly how much more. You know, what more are we talking about? So it is hard to quantify.
Is
These are all without any one. I think there is any.
If there's Aiden, we're not having a discussion. Agreed. Agreed. That part's clear. So, Heitz the Prince of Yosemau. Ali B'daman Damar. Now, interesting. In the time of the Gemara, they had the following debate. Now, I'm not sure if we would debate this issue now, but that could just simply be Nishanu Atefa. But in the time of the Gemara, they had the following debate. When is a woman most fertile? Meaning, what time of month would she be most likely to become impregnated? So the two options in the Gemara are Samach L'Tvila, meaning, right, immediately after her menstrual cycle has concluded, right, she goes to the mikvah. Is that the time where she is most ready to become impregnated, to conceive? Thank you. Or is it at the end of her, right before her menstrual cycle begins? Okay, again, right, I know the number of doctors in the room. I know we wouldn't really debate this issue now, but that's fine because, again, in terms of teva, so we can often say nishtanu teva. So the Gemara says, here we're talking now, the discussion is about a woman who is beyond just rumors and allegations. She's prutza b'yoser. Really, her husband does not have a handle on her whatsoever. However, says the Gemara, at least here we can even... We can even carve out still a little place to argue, and that is Aliba Damanda. I mean, Isha Mitaber Zelo Samach Levesta Lo Tibaylach Delo Yadaba. If you're going to operate with the prince with the opinion that she is most likely to conceive right before her menstrual cycle begins, so that means that we're not talking about any time when she goes to the mikvah. We're talking about the other end, meaning right before a menstrual cycle begins. At that point in time, the husband really has no idea where she is, no control over her whatsoever. However, and then there's really nothing to talk about. The child that comes out is we really don't know. The father's the father, the other man's the father, we really don't know. However, there is another opinion in the Gemara, which I think doctors present here in the room would be more in line with, and that is that a woman's much more prepared to conceive at the Zman HaTfilah, right after her menstrual cycle has come to an end, right when she goes to the mikvah. So that is the time when a woman is most likely to conceive. So the Gemara says, if that's true, at least here we could make an argument, even though the husband has almost no control over his wife, but at least here we can make an argument that at that point in time, the husband, Lel Tfila, the husband knows where his wife is, or the wife is with the husband, at least at that point in time. So here at least we can construct an argument that maybe the child comes from the father as opposed to another man, take it, but the Gemara says, but even then, we don't know. But at least we can make an argument. Finishing up now the discussion of the Gemara, we are now concluding with a discussion of the based in generating a warning, right? This was the last thing we learned in the Mishnah, going all the way back to Chav Dalid. And the Gemara now just brings a price that discusses this point. Okay. The husband's incapacitated. We've gone over this many times already, but going over it again, I'm saying in this parak. The husband's incapacitated. Beis Din can issue a warning. And to what end? So according to the Tanakhama, not to have her drink the mesota, but just simply to have her forfeit her ksuba. So the Tanakhama of this Braisa, which is parenthetically also the Tanakhama of our Mishnah as well, says only for a forfeiture of a ksuba. Beis Din is not going to have her drinking the mesota because the Torah says vehevi ish es ishto. The man has to bring his wife. In other words, the husband has to be there present for the drinking. Rabbi Yosi Amar Aflashko So Lechishiyose Balam Beis Asurim Yashkena. Rav Yossi says, no, I disagree. Meaning, I can't disagree with the pasuk. The Torah says the husband has to be present. It just simply means, according to Rav Yossi, Beis Din will issue the warning. If she violates the warning, she's now a sota. And then if and when the husband no longer is incapacitated, either mentally or physically, then the husband, using the warning of Beis Din, can take her to the Beis HaMikdash and give her the mesota. B'maikam Iflagi, the Gemara now points out, what's at issue over here? Rabbanan Savri, Bina V'kina V'hevi. The Chachamim say that the two verbs of the kinei vehevi are linked. They're connected. And only when the husband issues a warning, then can he bring her. And Rav Yossi says, no, they are two separate verbs, disconnected. The kinui can be done by Beis Din. And if the kinui is done by Beis Din, then the husband can go ahead and bring her. Tana Rabbanan Asher Tista Ishto Tachas Isha. Lahakish Ish Li Isha Vi Isha Li Ish. This is a drasha that we quoted earlier. The Gemara quoted the drasha earlier. The Gemara did not explain. And now we're going to explain. There has to be a parallel between the husband and the wife. What is that parallel? Hilchas Asamai Hilchasam Rav Sheshes Kishem Shim Husum Usuma Lo Yamashke Dechsiv Anala Mene Isha Kach Im Hi Haisa Suma Lo Haisa Shosa. Number one, we know that the husband, if he's blind, cannot make his wife a formal sota. Meaning, for him, kinu and stira will not result in her drinking the mesota. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Vanela mineisha zeres akasuf," that the husband's blind, so she will not result in being a sota. Now that we have a hekesh ish and isha, it comes to tell me that the same thing would be true if she were blind. In other words, if she were blind, even if the husband's not, and the husband issued a warning and she violated the warning, she's not going to drink the mesota. Why? Once again, gzeres hakasav. We know the halacha would be true by the man. We know that the Torah puts the two together in the same pasuk. So the same halacha would be true by a woman as well. That's one. Two. Rav Ashi amar kishem she chigeres v'gidemes lo haisa shosa dechsiv ve'amid hakoen es ha'ishol afnei Hashem v'nasan al kapah kachu im hiya chiger o gidem lo yamashkem. Another halacha, and that is that in order for a woman to become sota, she has to stand on her own. She has to be able to stand on her own. This pasuk says, "Ve'ha'amina kohen es isha." So if she does not have that ability to stand on her own, her legs don't work and she can't stand on her own, so again, as a technicality, she doesn't become a sota. Similarly, the same thing is true regarding the husband. Even though the pasuk doesn't say by the husband that he needs to stand, but again, the hekesh between the man and the woman is telling us that whatever is true regarding the physical ability of a woman is going to be true for the man as well. Next. Amar Baravashi Amar Kishem Shiilemis Lo Haisa Shosa Dechsiv Ve'amra Haisha Amen Amen Kachu Im Huaya Ilem Lo Yamashke. And the final halacha, the Gemara says, is that just like in order for her to be a sota, she has to have the ability to speak, because we need a verbal response of amen amen. So too, when it comes to the husband, even though again he doesn't need to say amen amen, but nevertheless, the husband has to have the physical ability to speak. If he doesn't have that ability, so again, as a technicality, is gzeres hakasuv, he cannot make his wife a sota. Just as a point of interest, by the way, if he can't speak, how is he issuing the kinui? Okay, I asked that question. I apologize. I don't have an answer, but it's... If he's an elam, I guess. Maybe that's the solution.
Maybe he lost his power after he gave it.
Okay, or could be, right? It's a technical answer, but it's a good one. Right, he could speak at the time of the kinui, but then lost his ability to speak. And then as a technicality now, she's not going to drink because of the hekesh. Hajjan l'charutza, that's the end of the fourth parak. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, start the fifth parak of the Masechta. And as you'll see tomorrow, we're going to leave. You could put basically a bookmark over here, because we're going to leave the world of sota, and we're going to enter into a whole bunch of other topics. So this may be like, even though we have another couple weeks to go in terms of the Masechta, we finished Hanukkah, Masechta Sota. But as you'll see over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to enter into a lot of tangential discussion. Interesting.